So we are starting now for Bhagavad Gita. Now one may think that because Krishna was the friend of Arjuna, Arjuna was telling him all this way, this by way of flattery. But Arjuna, just to drive out this kind of doubt from the minds of the readers of Bhagavad Gita, substantiates these praises in the next verse when he says that Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only by himself, but by authorities like Narada, Asita Deval and Vyasadev. These are great personalities who distribute the Vedic knowledge as it is accepted by all Acharyas. Therefore, Arjuna tells Krishna that he accepts whatever he says to be completely perfect. That's quite interesting how we accept, maybe the fans can be reduced a little bit, it's just too much sound. That the faith of a sadhaka is dependent or guided by three factors. Please hear very carefully. The sadhaka has not seen Krishna. All of you, have you seen Krishna? No. Maybe you are seeing Krishna but not experiencing Krishna. Krishna is not different from his holy names and all that, but we are not, may not be experiencing. So we are riding on faith. So our faith is guided by three things. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Do you remember the shloka by Srila Narottam Das Thakur? Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chittite, Koriya, Aikya. That is, now Chitta should not hear anything else. The mind should not be guided by anything else except these three things. And Srila Prabhupada, you will see in our readings, he says, life guided by Shastra is transcendental life. Can you repeat this? Life guided by Shastra is transcendental life. Obviously, the Shastra has to be transcendental also. Because if you are guided by a Shastra which is in mode of ignorance and passion, then you are not really transcendental. But you are on the path still to become transcendental. If you are actually following that Shastra also, it will gradually elevate you to come to the transcendental platform. But very gradual. But if we are being guided by a Shastra like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, our life is transcendental. I like to explain this. Just like, if you eat food, do you get karma? Yes. But if you take prasadam, we don't get karma. If you go for a job, do you get karma? Yes. But if you are doing the job so that the money can be used for Krishna's service, you don't get karma. Rather, you get free from karma by doing your job also. So in the sense, all these things a person can understand if his life is guided by Shastra, although externally he behaves the same way as a materialist will. Can you remove the stand? Stand. Not you. Stand. I'm not giving the class to the stand. You are the conscious person. That is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Even if the stand can record everything, but you cannot understand anything. Isn't it? And even if you can't record everything, but you can understand something. Make sense? Yes. So, now Arjuna is substantiating that what I am saying is also substantiated, means supported by Acharyas. And you will see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva directly sees Krishna as Supreme Personality of God. Do you know that fifth chapter? And he also sees Maya, tat upashraya. He sees Maya also. And he sees also how Maya is capturing the conditioned souls. So what do you understand by that? These Acharyas have the capacity to directly perceive that who is God. We do not have that capacity. So our other people, the materialists, are being guided by blind people. And they themselves are blind. Make sense to you? I've never spoken this before, ever. Now, but in our case, we are blind, but we are guided by people who have eyes. If I ask you, who is God, what will be the answer? Krishna. But do you know yourself? So this shows our conditioned nature. Yes, we are conditioned also. We don't know Krishna ourselves, but we are being guided by a person who has eyes. So, okay, on my own, can I cross the river as a blind person? But if my guide is proper, then I can very easily cross. Make sense to you? So, that's why hearing from a spiritual... Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. That is the whole point. That is the point here mentioned, that we put faith... That is the whole point. We are putting reasonable faith. Madhavacharya, Ramanujacharya, all these people are great exalted people who are accepted by other people. is actually a very good question which you have put, because we are also riding on faith only. We have not directly experienced Krishna, but when we follow the path prescribed by the acharyas, things become gradually revealed to us also. Is it not happening with all of us? Sometimes we have got some taste for chanting Hare Krishna. We see enlightenment in our consciousness, purification of heart. Everybody feels that. Sometimes Krishna gives you that knowledge directly that you are not the body. Directly, not intellectually. He may just open the door of Maya for some time. The curtain of Maya. So like that. So when we are following the process, we are also getting some benefit. As they have told us. Like in Anartha Nivritti, you will be sometimes happy, sometimes not. Are you not in that state? Sometimes you are very happy in Krishna consciousness and sometimes may not be. So in which stage you are? Anartha Nivritti. So what they are prescribing, you can also perceive. It's not that everything will be revealed only when you get prema. The revelation is gradually as you are progressing. Make sense to you? Okay. Okay. So we have understood that we are guided in terms of sadhu, guru and shastra. Therefore Arjuna tells Krishna that he accepts whatever he says to be completely perfect. Sarvam etad ritam manne. I accept everything you say to be true. Arjuna also says that the personality of the Lord is very difficult to understand, and he cannot be known even by the great demigods. This means the Lord cannot even be known by personalities greater than human beings. And it also means that even those who are in the mode of goodness, like demigods, they can't know Krishna. But then how can we know Krishna? Bhakto, yeah, bhakti. And he himself says, 7.1, Maya Sakta Mana Partha. Through love we can understand Krishna. That's quite interesting. So that means if a person cannot understand Krishna, what is lacking in him? Love. I'll give you a simple example. I will not tell the whole pastime, but you can read in Antarila. Haridas Thakur is being questioned by Mahaprabhu himself how the living entities will be delivered. And he tells very secret glories of the holy name. And he also tells how Mahaprabhu is delivering even plants and creepers by loudly chanting Hare Krishna. Just like when we chant loudly Hare Krishna, do we understand that the plants are getting delivered? We don't. But Haridas Thakur could understand it. Then Mahaprabhu is thinking how he understands it. It's amazing. Mahaprabhu himself is thinking how he is able to understand my pastimes. What is the answer? He's a devotee. Devotee means he has love. And because he has love, Krishna's glories are revealed in his heart. Krishna is pleased to reveal it. Right now, just make it silent and cross it. Okay? Yes. So how can a human being understand Lord Sri Krishna without becoming his devotee? And very important, it will come later on also, in 7.2, knowing Krishna means knowing his opulences and tasting his sweetness. Yes, jnanam teham savijnanam. This all is revealed in the heart of a devotee because he has love for the Lord. So I was discussing with the devotee and he was saying very amazing, strange to me, that by giving pravachan nothing happens. I said, no, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, but what is your motivation of doing pravachan? That is the whole point. See, we are discussing Harikatha so that Krishna is pleased to reveal himself to us. Make sense? But if I am thinking only when 500, 600 people will come and then only I will speak, what does it mean? I am not interested in only simply glorifying Krishna. I am interested in being on a high seat. And that then Krishna will give you that much only. Are you able to understand? So if a person, as Lord himself says, kathyantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha tesham evanukam partham. So by Krishna's mercy, he reveals the knowledge. If you remember, Maharaj was saying the same point today. So we are not here to simply convince people. We are here to glorify Krishna. Are you able to see the difference? We are not here simply to convince people, but to glorify Krishna and make them attracted to Krishna and make ourselves attracted to Krishna also. Very important point for reading and discussing Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, if the goal of Bhagavad Gita has to be love for Krishna, the goal of all the limbs of bhakti is love for Krishna. So if that goal is there, then things Krishna will reveal. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita should be taken up in a spirit of devotion. Was I saying something out of my mind? See, next line. I did not actually read that line. One should be a devotee of Krishna. One should have faith in Krishna. One should have an attitude of pleasing Krishna. Then Krishna will reveal this knowledge to him. One should not think that he is equal to Krishna, nor should he think that Krishna is an ordinary personality or even a very great personality. What is the difficulty with this line? If you think that you are equal to Krishna, who can answer this? Speak in the mic, please. Yeah.
We cannot understand him.
Why? That is sure, Prabhupada is saying. But how you relate it with the spirit of devotion? What is the meaning of spirit of devotion? Yeah, please give it the mic to him. What is the meaning of spirit of devotion to him?
We lost our dasya bhav.
Very good. It means it's the whole point. I am not only servant of Krishna, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. If I am thinking that I will become God, then also I will be bewildered. So with the proper conception of our identity, we should read Bhagavad Gita. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Lord Shri Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So according to the statements of Bhagavad Gita or the statements of Arjuna, the person who is trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita, we should at least theoretically accept Sri Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, and with that submissive spirit we can understand the Bhagavad Gita. Beautiful line to be understood. See, in a Krishna consciousness, I always give with example, suppose you are on the path, just like today one devotee was on the path to temple to go for Mangalarati, but he tripped. What is it? Tripped over. So he tripped over, but on which path he is? On the path to the temple. But if somebody takes a different route somewhere else, then even if he doesn't trip, he is not on the path to the temple. So if a person is practicing Krishna consciousness, if he trips in terms of following the principles and all that, but his conception, philosophical conception is correct, it's not a problem. Are you able to understand? He's on the proper road, he just tripped down. He just fell down. Okay, no problem. What devotees did? I noticed very clearly. What devotees did? Oh, no problem. Held him by his hand. Okay, stand up. Let's go for Mangalarati. Nobody said, oh, useless fellow. You fell down. You're in darkness. You're in ignorance. You should not go for Mangalarati at all. You should never come for Mangalarati for tomorrow. You are able to understand my point? Several times I mentioned this. But if he's on a wrong road, then what is the problem? Big problem. And it may also appear, you can imagine this, you have a road, straight road, and you deviate a little bit. So it will not happen much that you are deviating a little bit in the beginning. But as time progresses, we can digress completely in a wrong direction. That's why hearing Siddhanta is extremely important, because nobody should think that he can become God or is equal to God or any other thing. Rather, today Maharaj said a very interesting point, that when you hear about Mother Yashoda, you should also not think that you will become Yashoda. Rather, we become a servant of Mother Yashoda. Because if I am trying to become Mother Yashoda or Srimati Radharani, that also is enviousness, that is also Mayavad. You cannot become like them. In this world, when we see a person who is great, we want to become like him because we want to be great. Make sense? But in the spiritual world, we appreciate, oh, he's so great, well, let me try to serve him. Just like when Maharaj was saying this, I was remembering Srila Rupa Goswami, that when Rupa Goswami wrote beautiful commentary, all the Vaishnavas were appreciating. They were not saying, oh, maybe I should also write a commentary like this or a poetry like this. No, it's not like that. Very beautiful point. We don't want to become anybody else. We remain simple as we are, but we are appreciating other devotees' service. It's a real devotee. So what we have discussed here now, that who can understand Bhagavad Gita and what is the submissive spirit? Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead, and whatever he speaks is perfect. Even if it doesn't make sense to my imperfect senses. This again I'll repeat, because Shastra Shraddha means, even if it doesn't make sense to your senses now, we wait for the purification to happen and we accept the words as true. Have you understood? Remember chapter number 5th in Bhakti Vriksha, we discussed this, a very important point. That faith in Shastra means that we are serving through our senses, but faith is guarded by Shastra. Let's go ahead. Unless one reads the Bhagavad Gita in a submissive spirit, it is very difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita because it is a great mystery. Great mystery. This word rahasyam comes several times, and whenever it comes, it means pure devotional service. It will come in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam also, and it will come in the 9th chapter also. Raj Guhyam. Whenever this word comes, you remember it means pure devotional service. And same thing has been told by Yamaraj to his followers. In the 6th canto, he says, Bhagavad Dharma is very guhya. Nobody understands it. So then if nobody understands it, then why are you explaining it? It means those who are in parampara of pure devotees, they can understand it. Yes, and pure devotional service is very, very confidential. You remember the pastime of Prachina Barishad, who asked Narad Muni, I did so many yajnas, so many brahmanas came. Why they did not tell me about devotional service? Was I not qualified or they did not know? So what was the answer of Narad Muni? Narad Muni's answer was that the brahmanas did not know. Just imagine the time of Prachina Barishad. At that time, brahmanas did not know what to do. And also not difficult. Parishad Maharaj also asked the same question. What should I do before death? And there were multiple opinions. Why there is multiple opinions? Because they don't know. And then conclusively Shukdeva Goswami says, Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Dheya Pujasthe Nitada. He does not say, that is Suta Goswami's words. But Shaunak Adi Rishi. No, sorry, Suta Goswami. But he says that Ichchata Bayam. What is that? Harir Namanu Kirtanam. He says that. So, it's very clear to the pure devotees the glories of devotional service. Now, it's interesting that even Sarbhaum Bhattacharya also could realize the glories of the holy name only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was very great and exalted in terms of Shastra. So, it's a great mystery which becomes revealed in the heart. The glories of Bhagavad Gita, the glories of holy name becomes revealed in the heart of a devotee, not for outside people. Understand? Okay. Anant, who will read now? Anant Panu Prabhu can read. I will allow devotees who can read fast. Not fast, but a little loud.
Yes. Just what is the Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the nescience of material existence.
What is the meaning of nescience? Nescience.
Ignorance.
Ignorance. That means they do not know what is the purpose. How to get out of it. Basically, bhavatavi. And this forest of material enjoyment, how to get out of it. It's amazing that people don't want to get out of. First of all, they don't want to get out. And then when they want to get out, they don't know how to get out. These are the two problems here. Yes.
Every man is in difficulty in so many ways, as Arjuna also was in difficulty in having to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna surrendered.
You understand this point? The point is what to do. Have you understood? Arjuna, for a person who follows dharma, dharma sankat, you understand? Dharma sankat means according to dharma, what should I do? For a person who doesn't follow dharma, there is no problem. Duryodhana was not thinking, I'm going to fight with my Yudhishthira Maharaj. This actually kingdom doesn't belong to me. I should not fight. He was not thinking. But those who are followers of dharma, they think. Makes sense to you? Especially those who are devotees, they think, is this dharma, what I am doing? What will be my destination later on? Yes, you have a question?
Like what dharma sankat, I have heard that here also right, there also
yes,
right.
Yes, so that's the whole point. What should I do? Which will give me better benefit? Is this correct to do? That was his problem. Yes.
Okay. Arjuna surrendered unto Shri Krishna, and consequently this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Not only Arjuna, but every one of us is full of anxieties because of this material existence. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence.
Beautiful line. Who understands it? our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. That's why I'm discussing this. Every line Prabhupada says is very deep. It's very simple. I speak in the mic. Yes.
Our very existence, here Prabhupada means that we are soul.
Yes.
And where we are now staying, that is very temporary.
It's very good this, answer. This place yes. is This temporary. Is the meaning. That we, not only temporary, see, we are eternal, we are full of bliss and full of knowledge. And everything in this world is, asat means temporary, full of misery and without any knowledge. Rather covering our knowledge. The more we interact with matter for sense gratification, the more we become covered with matter. You understand this point? It will come later on also. So it's like when you take a fish out of water, it will always feel uncomfortable. When I had not gone to a flight, I was a little bit excited. But once you are in the flight, you feel miserable. There is no fun actually. And Prabhupada was telling in his lecture that because we are creatures of land, so we feel uncomfortable when we are in air. So we are, everybody actually feels uncomfortable in this material world because we do not belong to this place. Just imagine that. If you actually think that you don't belong to this place, how can you have any material aspiration for that matter? Make sense to you? Would you like to become an IAS officer in hell? I say, Mano Ram Prabhu, you chant Hare Krishna and we'll make you IAS officer. I'll make you head Yamaduta. Would you like to become? No, I don't want. So similarly, anybody who has any aspiration to become anybody in the material world, he basically cannot surrender to Krishna. In our course of preaching, we say this also. Yeah, you can go with your material things, and which also is good for people to say. But actual fact is, at some point of time, we have to understand, I don't belong to this place. Make sense to you? To the degree it makes sense to us, to the degree we will be detached from the world. You remember Maharaj was saying the same point today? Life is so eternal, not so eternal, our life is eternal. And this small life, we set priorities higher than our spiritual progress. And that's why we don't make spiritual progress. You know that? What Maharaj was saying was exactly what Sanat Kumar has said. The greatest obstacle in spiritual life is to think anything is more important than your self-realization. Okay, repeat after me. The greatest obstacle in spiritual life is to think anything more important than our self-realization. You should read it in the instruction of Srila Four Kumars to Prithu Maharaj and think and meditate upon it. Anything more important. That is the greatest obstacle. Because then we are prioritizing our self-realization less than that object. Anything you want. Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, all those things as less priority than attaining love for Krishna. And in some cases, we may be exchanging our devotional service with these things. You know, barter system? I have this, I'll give you this, you have this, and you give it to me. Obviously, everything is okay if you are doing devotional service, eventually you will get purified. But by hearing, we should try to change our aspirations. Please go ahead.
Actually, we are not meant to be threatened by non-existence. Our existence is eternal. But somehow or other we are put into asat. Asat refers to that which does not exist.
Yeah, important point is Prabhupada saying somehow or other. That means don't try to find out how. When we get a disease, we don't really care how we got diseased. We actually see how we can be cured. Somehow or other means we do not know, it is beginningless, and we do not know when the ignorance started. So if we start doing research on that, we'll only get bewildered. So better to just stick to the words of the acharyas, chant Hare Krishna and get free from it. What is not existing? Before that you must understand, Can you reduce the sound a little bit? Just getting feedback. From the speaker side. Yeah. Have you not remembered what is the meaning of Satyam? Which is unchanging in, not in the, from the mixer side, from the speaker side, which is unchanging in present, past, present and future. So Atma is existing or not?
Yes.
Unchangeable. So Atma is eternal. And then in this material world we see there are so many transformations happening. So that is Asat, temporary, not existing. His Holiness Radha Goj Maharaj was mentioning that something was not existing in the past. Sandwich theorem. And something is not existing in the future, that means it is not existing now also. You remember this point? You don't remember sandwich? Sandwich has a bread on top and one bread is in between. So in between there is some stuffing. So similarly, in mathematics you have read this sandwich theorem. If y is greater than x and y is less than z, and if x and z are equal, that means y is equal to x and equal to z. It's called compressing. So if it was not existing in the past and it was not exist in the future, it is not existing now also. Now it mean, it doesn't mean that it is not existing in the sense it is not real. Like this table is real, it is there. But from the point of eternality, it is not actually not there.
Like we know initially Pradhan or Mahatattva,
yes,
was there.
Yes.
And finally also that will be there, Pradhan or Mahatattva.
Yes.
So in between everything
is there. Is just like when a person watches a movie, he thinks that he is seeing an actor and actress, but actually he's only seeing three dots. You understand this? RGB. He's only seeing a combination of three dots, and that is why it is called an illusion. And my Guru Maharaj was saying, it's interesting that for seeing such an illusion, you have to be in darkness. In a cinema hall, first they make dark so that you can see the illusion and become illusioned by it. Can you say the actor and actress is there? Will you say the actor and actress are dancing on the screen?
Dots are dancing.
Oh, he's saying yes. No, are you saying yes? No. But you are very much absorbed in it. I will not dilute much on this, but this will come as our discussion will progress. Okay, one paragraph we can more read.
Out of so many human beings who are suffering,
he's getting ecstatic symptoms.
There are a few who actually inquiring about their position as to why, what they are, why they are put into this awkward position and so on.
Why? Only very few. Why? Yeah, it's amazing that everybody is suffering, only few people are asking. Anybody you ask, you are suffering this miseries, nobody says he does not suffer. People who are very, very stubborn, they say, everybody suffers, I am not the only one. They say, this is part of life. So they don't want to solve it. Nobody will tell you that he is not suffering. But some people, just to reject Krishna consciousness, they say, everybody is suffering, I am not alone. If you ask, Hare Baba, you have to die. It's not that I am going to die alone. Everybody has to die. So like this, they shrug off the real problems of life. Yes.
Unless one is awakened to this position of questioning his suffering, unless he realizes that he doesn't want suffering, but rather wants to make a solution to all suffering, then one is not to be considered a perfect human being. Humanity begins when
we remember this is the first instruction we hear from Shraddhavan course, first chapter, that a human being can question why he is suffering the threefold miseries of life. Please go ahead.
Humanity begins when this sort of inquiry is awakened in one's mind. In Brahma Sutra, this inquiry is called Brahma Jigyasa. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Every activity of the human being is to be considered a failure unless he inquires about the nature of the Absolute. Therefore, those who begin to question why they are suffering or why they came from,
or where they came from,
or where they came from and where they shall go after that, are proper students for understanding Bhagavad Gita. The sincere student should also have a firm respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a student was Arjuna.
So, okay, so what are the two qualifications of the student of Bhagavad Gita? Proper student of Bhagavad Gita?
He should,
Yes, he is inquisitive and why is suffering here? What is the solution for it? And he has respect for Lord Shri Krishna because now he has made a jump of faith. Why am I suffering? I do not know the solution. So let me try the solution of Krishna. Make sense to you? I give an example. We have a devotee who is a doctor himself and he has a knee problem. So I suggested, anyhow, you do not know the solution. You do not know allopathic solution. Ruled out. Now you are considering an operation. Okay? Operation is expensive. It may not cure you. Why don't you try our Brahmachari Prabhu's homeopathic treatment? Now it may appear homeopathic treatment and it looks like water only. Should I try? But when you don't have any option, what will you do? I always give the example. My father had an accident, very severe accident. He had 13 fractures. For many years, I could not understand what is so great about it. My mother used to tell me, my father had 13 fractures. I said, only 13? What is this? Later on, I understand only one fracture is so painful. But anyhow, he had 13. So now his blood was constantly flowing and the doctors could not do anything. So then somebody suggested, take this homeopathic medicine. And with one dose, it was cured. So you understand, it's called a jump of faith. I don't know how I'm going to stop my suffering. And many people have got relieved by Bhagavad Gita. Many acharyas have prescribed it. So when I'm putting faith on the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, it is not unreasonable. But then why not everybody does it like that? Why everybody does not have that kind of faith in Bhagavad Gita? Yes, Sukrita, because they are not pious. You must remember that it's not that everybody who is suffering will come to Krishna. Only those who have some piety, then they will be inspired by Krishna to come to Krishna. If you remember, yesterday I was talking about this point, how just like a driver is controlling the car from within, similarly, Krishna is controlling everybody from within. What is that? Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantirunani mayana. What is that, Shloka? Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh ardhushtam. So it's very interesting. Ishvara here means controller. He's sitting within the heart of every living entity and controlling. So if you are preaching to somebody and he gives you a strange response, you should be detached. Krishna does not allow him to understand my words. And that's what the prayer of Srila Prabhupada was. Oh Krishna, I do not know how I'm going to convince these Americans. So you give strength to my words by which they can understand the message of Bhagavatam. You understand? So in our preaching, we should always be, conscious that our words can be understood by others if Krishna allows them to understand. That was the mood of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. They were very enthusiastic preachers, but detached. I'll show you their words, exact words. They say, we are going out to preach on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we'll repeat the message. If they don't understand, they don't accept, it is between them and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Are you able to understand? A beautiful point to learn from this. We are going to preach to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please Krishna. Some people can accept so strongly that they can propagate the message very large and wide. And so sometimes they will not accept it. Does it not happen to you? So we must understand it's Mahaprabhu who is using us as an instrument to spread his mercy to others. We should be happy to be used as these instruments. Okay, so we shall stop here now. Oh, I have to go now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Why Lord Krishna descends will be discussed. Tomorrow Krishna will. Oops.